Let's turn in our Bibles now to John chapter 11. And you remember the first half of John chapter 11 was Jesus not coming immediately to Lazarus after finding out that he was sick. Then he died, and that was in his good and great plan so that we could and they could experience and see and hear about what he did for Lazarus upon his death. And so we're reading John chapter 11, verses 30 through 57. And these are God's words. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in a place where Martha met him. And the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying?" So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Therefore many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Therefore the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, "What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people, and that the whole nation not perish." Now he did not say this on his own initiative, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but in order that he might also gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they planned together to kill him. Therefore Jesus no longer continued to walk publicly among the Jews, but went away from there to the country near the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up to Jerusalem out of the country before the Passover to purify themselves. So they were seeking for Jesus and were saying to one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think? That he will not come to the feast at all?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was to report it, so that they might seize him. That's God's word. So again, you remember last Lord's Day, Jesus, in his plan to not come and heal Lazarus, that Lazarus died, and so that he, and Christ in this passage, could raise him from the dead. In verse 35, we see the care that he has for us, and for Lazarus especially here, and his human nature and his love for us. The result of sin is death, the fall of man. has led to death, and so Jesus weeps. When someone dies, beloved, we should have a similar reaction as this, at least, for this reason, and that due for the sorrow that we should have because of the fall of man generally, that comes upon all men and death to us in our bodies. And Jesus weeping shows his love. Verse 36 for Lazarus, and this was someone that he loved enough to raise him from the dead. And this is how much Christ loves all those who believe in him. He will raise you up on the last day after you have died in your body. And the guarantee that will happen for all who believe in him is that Christ himself rose from the dead. And the resurrection of Christ, that is the guarantee that you will be raised in your body. And Christ, we see here, is the resurrection and the life. And because of what Christ did here, which, like chapter 9, which is actually brought out in our passage, no one had ever healed a blind man, not even Moses. And here, no one has ever raised someone from the dead, again, not even Moses. Christ showing himself to be greater than Moses, who the Pharisees heralded as being greater than Christ. But that is false. That day, the Pharisees, with the chief priests, determined to kill Christ at all costs. And within about a little over a week, he would be killed for our sakes. Just as the Lord used a wicked man here in our passage, the chief priest that year, Caiaphas, to prophesy the death of Christ on behalf of the nation of God's people. Very similar to what we heard in the last two Lord's Days in Zechariah. And we are therefore to come and believe in this Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. If you desire life forever, then you ought to come to Christ. If you want your body to be raised on the last day, then you ought to come to Christ, who alone can do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you in your Son, that you are the one who gives us life, that he is the resurrection and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. Father, we pray that we would be able to come to you through him. Even now in our worship, as we come through his sacrifice and blood shed by the power and strength of the Holy Spirit to your throne, we come to hear you speak. We come to adore you, to praise your name, to worship you, and to lift up our petitions before you. And the first petition, and the greatest petition perhaps that we have in this life, is that you would save your elect. That you would save our children, if that be your will. That you would save our family members, our loved ones. That you would send your Spirit and grant them to be born again. Of course, we pray and petition to you that you would be faithful to your promises, that you would be faithful to your decrees, your plan from all eternity, and bring about your plan just as you have planned it. That nothing would change, and we know that it won't, because you are God, and you are a God who does not change. And you're a God who is never unfaithful. Father, we're thankful for your love that you have shown for us, that you even weep over us. And Father, we're thankful that you have loved us so much that your Son died for us and rose from the dead for us. And in him we might be raised to a new life, a life eternal, and even a life in our souls. Father, we're thankful for you using wicked men to bring about your purposes, like you do in our passage by Caiaphas, using him to prophesy of the death of Christ. And you use wicked people of course, today, to do many things, many evil things, to see how good you truly are, to see how sinful man is. And yet you also use evil men to, against what they would desire generally, and helping your church, and allowing us to continue to worship, even in a nation that hates you, and generally governing rulers who hate you. And so, Father, we are the most blessed. As Christ sits on the throne, He is sovereign even over the wicked, and uses them for our good. Father, we pray that you would help us this evening to be able to say, my beloved is mine and I am his. That everyone here could say that. And Father, we ask also that you would bless our partaking of the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day as we worship you. That you would give wisdom to your church and in our congregational meeting that comes up in a couple weeks, and any decisions that will follow. Father, we need your help. We cannot assume that we know the right way. We pray that you would give us wisdom of your will, even through your word, and by your Spirit who leads us and guides us as our counselor. Father, in all things we pray that you would grow your church, grow your kingdom, that you would use us in that purpose that you have to do so. And Father, we acknowledge and believe your promise that you grow your church. Do so through us, for your glory alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.